Praise the Lord, church. How many of you are so thankful for what God has done for you in your life? I am so thankful for the presence of the Almighty God. Today, as I was preparing for this message, I've been working on this. Actually, Pastor Thomas was on the schedule to preach tonight, and I told him, I said, I had a Thanksgiving message last year and didn't get to preach it. I'm not for sure exactly what happened, but I said, if it's all right with you, and of course, he was fine with that, so thank you, Pastor Thomas. But if we could all stand tonight, and I'm going to be reading from Psalms 103, verses 1 through 13 to start this off. Just give you a little bit of heads up on what's coming up. Our next pastor's Bible study in December 3rd, I believe, will be speaking on the topic, No Time to Lose Your Head. No time to lose your head. And that will be our pastor's Bible study. So you want to make sure you're here for that. Reading from Psalms 103, 1 through 13. Oh, I'm reading from a different version, and I did not let the sound booth or the overhead know. So you follow along in the King James, and I'm going to read. It says, Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. I'm so thankful for that tonight. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions or our sins from us. As far as the east is from the west. The thing I like about that terminology is you can go east and keep going east and keep going east, and you'll always be going east. You can go west, and you can go west, and you can go west, and you'll always be going west. That's how far our sins are removed or our transgressions are removed from us. As a father, he has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. How many of you are thankful tonight for the mercies and the compassion of our Heavenly Father? Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated tonight. My message tonight is just a simple message from these passages of Scripture, a message of thanksgiving. And if I could title this message, Five Kernels of Corn. Five Kernels of Corn. Tonight after church is over, the lights are all off, and Brother Larry has finally chased us all out of here, and we all go home. Many of us will go home tonight after service, and we'll start preparing for our big Thanksgiving Day meal. It's an American tradition. Tonight, after service, when I get home, I picked up from Stoddard's Beef Meat Market today a big, large, 10-pound cut of beef, and I'm going to go home tonight, and I will cover it with coarse ground pepper, olive oil, and take some fresh garlic, courtesy of Brother Jeff Neesum, and cut that into little chunks and pound that in to this big eye of round beef. I'll take it and put it in a pan of bouillon juice, and I'll put it in my smoker. And all while I'm sleeping tonight at 180 degrees, there will be 10 pounds of beef slowly smoking, getting ready to consume it tomorrow at 5 o'clock. When the Grant family gathers down at Happy Times Ranch and we consume our Thanksgiving dinner. That's good eating, folks. That's some good eating. On top of that, the smell is going to fill the entire neighborhood. I've had neighbors stop by and say, "What are you cooking? It smells so good over here." I said, "I've got some beef going and I've got some turkeys. I got this new oilless turkey fryer so I don't have to mess with that oil anymore." How many of you have deep fried a turkey? Oh, when you get to heaven, man, there's going to be deep fried turkey there. I just know it. I got a couple turkeys I'm going to put in, and one of them I inject it with butter and all kinds of Cajun spices, Louisiana Cajuns. And a few years ago, I was introduced to Slap Your Mama, courtesy of Sister Shelley O'Malley. And if you've never had Slap Your Mama Cajun, listen, it lives up to its name. It'll just slap you, mama. And it's some good stuff. A little bit different maybe from the first Thanksgiving, no doubt. But it's our tradition. And we as families, we all have our traditions when it comes to holiday season. And we have all kinds of stuffings. The Kids Depot we had a Thanksgiving dinner and sat down, all of the church staff sat down with Kids Depot staff and the children, and we had stuffing and all kinds of good turkey and Thanksgiving traditional holiday type foods. And my Uncle Charlie was sitting over there trying to explain to a table of 4 and 5 year olds why the stovetop dressing that was served wasn't as good as old East Texas dressing. I don't think they liked dressing at all. So it wasn't really a problem. But, you know, we have all of our dressings and desserts and all those special pies. Apple pie, pumpkin pie. How many of you are going to have some pumpkin pie tomorrow? Going to have some whipped cream on it? You got all of that spices? Mmm. How come every time I get up here I get talking about food? You ever notice that? I'm going to have to hurry up. I'm getting hungry. When we look at the first Thanksgiving, now I know that whatever I say here tonight is probably going to, you're probably going to disagree with some of you, because when I started looking up the historical context of the first Thanksgiving, there's just like so many different versions of our first Thanksgiving. And you may disagree with what I'm saying here tonight, and you can certainly disagree with that if your textbook tells you something different. But actually, Thanksgiving didn't start off as a day of Thanksgiving or having the title of Thanksgiving. It didn't start off as we're going to have a day of Thanksgiving or we're going to call this day Thanksgiving. It actually started off as a day of thanks. It was a day of celebration for the pilgrims when they came. It was their first harvest that they had harvested. And being Puritans that they were, and being very strict in their religion and what they believed, they didn't want this day to outshine the Sabbath or any other type of a day. So they called it was basically their first harvest or their first fruits of their labor here in this new country. When we go on and we follow Thanksgiving on through, it was called a Day of Thanks by President Lincoln at the close of the Civil War. Those of you know and follow history, the Civil War was an extremely bloody conflict between the North and the South, brother against brother, in some cases family against families, and states against the states. And he chose this day as a day of reconciliation, where that we could come together as a nation and we could thank God for surviving one of the most bloodiest conflicts in the history of our nation up to that point. Due to the date that it was picked, and it was moved back and forth, and finally President Roosevelt come along in the 40s, and I believe it was the fourth Thursday of November was finally settled on as the official day of Thanksgiving here in the United States. So that's why we celebrate Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of November. But it kind of transitioned as a holiday over the years. When we look at the pilgrims who landed at Plymouth Rock nearly 400 years ago, they knew nothing of the blessed and affluent times which you and I enjoy today in this great country of ours.
We go to the grocery stores, and if you go to the average grocery store today as a Woodman's or a Hy-Vee or a Cops or a Kohl's and such, you will find over 15,000 different types of foods and varieties of products to choose from. We can go to clothing stores and shoe stores, and we can shop for cars, and we can look at different cars and test drive a different car every day of the week, and it would take us years before we would get back to where we started. You can take and go in and you can say, I want to get a new cell phone or a new computer. And you take and you sit down and you look at them, and there's so many different choices to choose from. I'm so thankful that we live in a country where we have choices. Although sometimes this choice that we have confused me. The other day, I went into the store and I wanted to pick up paper towels, something as simple as paper towels. And I stood there by the paper towel rack and the whole row, and I became dumbfounded, confused, and I stood there and thought, I'm 52 years old. I've made thousands of decisions in my life, and I can't figure out what rolls of paper towels. There was one single, there was a two-pack, there was a four-pack, a six and an eight, and even a 10 and a 12, and they're all different sizes. Some will clean up gallons of juice with just one towel, and I'm like, what do I get? I'm perplexed. Where does all this madness end? Lord, I just want some paper towels. So I took the lumberjack one. I trust the lumberjack. He had a flannel shirt on. What brand is that? Brawny? Brawny? Is that what it's called? Brawny? Next time we're tempted to complain about gas prices, we need to be thankful that we have some 40 gas stations to fill up at. Next time that we're unthankful about the cost of food, at least we don't have to walk 2 days to get a bag of corn. That we have to come back and beat it into some kind of a floured mix to make some kind of a meal. Inflation and the state of our economy. We get frustrated at times, but just remember the following. During the first long winter, at Plymouth Colony, 7 times as many graves were dug for the dead as homes built for the living. The ship, which was supposed to bring food and relief, brought 35 more mouths to feed and not an ounce of provisions for them. Touching indeed when you go through history and you look at the picture of William Brewster rising from a skimpy first Plymouth dinner consisting of a plate of cold clams or clams and a glass of cold water as he stood to thank God for the abundance of the sea and the treasures that were hid in the sand. The pilgrims didn't have much, but they possessed a great gratitude. And it was upon this very thing that this country was built on. These stalwart people, they were strong, they were devout Christians and sincere. The timbers which our nation were founded upon with the intervention of God. We read the story of how they met a Native American Indian named Squanto. And he taught the pilgrims how to plant corn, and he taught them how to catch eels and fish, how to stalk deer and to catch beaver, and how they could use the pelts for clothing. After a year had passed, Governor Bradford, the governor of the colonies, declared a day of public thanksgiving, and it was to be held in October of 1621 to celebrate their first harvest. They invited a local chief and some in the tribe, and they lived some 50 miles away from the settlement, and they arrived the next day with 90 fellow tribesmen, and they brought with them 5 dressed deer and more than a dozen fat wild turkeys, and they taught the pilgrims how to make a great delicacy we now today enjoy as we sit down with the family and pop in a video, and we sit down in the microwave and we throw in a bag of popcorn. Popcorn was introduced to the pilgrims. As they sat on the beach and watched the sun go down, they would eat their popcorn. I just made that up. I don't really know that, okay? You bought into that, though, pretty quick, didn't you? You could just see them all lined up out there on the beach, the sun going, they're all eating their popcorn. The first movie. Between the meals, the pilgrims and the natives, happily they competed in shooting contests and contests with bow and arrow and foot races and wrestling. History tells us the winter of 1621 and 1622 was so hard that the pilgrims were reduced to a daily ration of 5 kernels of corn apiece. They did not live. They did not give in to bitterness and despair, but they grew in their faith towards God. And none of them that winter died of starvation. In the spring of 1623 began with a drought that lasted for some 12 weeks, and the first planting had failed, and now the second planting was due. And the older natives there could not remember a drought that was quite like this one. But the pilgrims began to pray, and as they began to pray, the rains came, and it rained for 14 days, and it was followed by seasonable weather suitable for planting their crops. They had an abundance of food for the upcoming winter, so a second day of Thanksgiving was planned, and this time 120 braves arrived with venison and turkey. And in all, it was said that they had prepared 6 goats and 50 hogs and pigs and divers hens. And before the first course was served, each person was served an empty plate with 5 kernels of corn, lest anyone should forget where they came from. Tomorrow, we've waited all year long for this event. As always, the dinner, it's fashionably late in the afternoon. Ours will be at 4 to 4:35, somewhere around there. And I will skip breakfast. I won't eat breakfast because of this. And some of us will even sit down at the table and loosen our belts. Or better yet, we'll just take and wear sweatpants so we don't have to worry about being able to sit there and not have to stretch out our waistlines. Then a large covered food tray is brought out to the center of table, and everybody's mouths are watering, and his mom goes and lifts up what we think is a nice, succulent 25-pound basted turkey. And there's 5 little kernels of corn. That's all we have this year. Church, I want to tell you, on this Thanksgiving Eve, we have so, so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. In our text tonight, we read from Psalms 103. And I want to give you, out of here, 5 reasons to be thankful. 5 reasons to thank God for. Reading in verse 3, paraphrasing the verse, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. We have a kernel set aside from our dinner, a kernel of forgiveness. I am so thankful tonight that God offers forgiveness. I'm so thankful that God forgives us of our sins. All a person, all you and I has to do when we sin is we have to repent and ask God to forgive us of our iniquities or forgive us of our sins. It's as simple as that. We don't have to go out and get a goat and bring it in, and or a sheep and put it on an altar and slaughter it and the blood and all. All we have to do is say, Jesus, forgive me for mine iniquities. I'm so thankful when the scripture says in Psalms 51:5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. All any person must do is to repent and turn away from the sin sin, and God will remove the penalty of sin from their lives. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." It's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Forgiveness is a promise found in the Word of God. It's a proclamation. It's a principle found in the Word of God. And in order for us to be Christ-like, in order for us to be a Christian, it's a required practice in our lives and in our church. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Mark 11:25 says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespass." I'm so thankful for forgiveness, church. John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, church, here tonight, you and I, we do not deserve forgiveness. I don't deserve it. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I couldn't do anything to deserve it. But he gives it to us anyway. I am so very thankful for the power of forgiveness. As we move on into verse 4, we have the second kernel, the kernel of redemption. Verse 4 says, "Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction?" It's another translation. Jesus Christ not only saved our souls from the pit of hell, but he redeems our lives from the clutches of the enemy. Satan is bent on destroying our lives. He is bent on destroying our futures. But thank God that he redeems us through the power of his blood. I love this song. There is power. There is power. There is wonder working power. Where is that power? It's in the blood. It's in the blood. It's in the blood of the Lamb. And who is that Lamb? That Lamb is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the spotless Lamb slain from the very foundation of the world. And tonight we can stand and we can praise God with the psalmist who penned these words. "He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." The old song, "He brought me out of the miry clay and he put my feet on the rock to stay. Now I will cry out, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so thankful that he brought me out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit of sin, and he set me upon a firm foundation. I love that old song, "Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe." It's his blood. Wasn't anything that I can do, anything that you have done. It was his blood. His sacrifice has washed me white as snow. I'm so thankful tonight for the power of redemption. How many of you are thankful tonight for the power of redemption in our lives? when we go back, if we go back to verse 3, kind of the second part of that verse, who healeth all thy diseases, who forgiveth all mine iniquities, but he healeth, who healeth all thy diseases. I thank God tonight for the kernel of healing. I thank God that he has reached down into my life on many occasions and has healed my body. He's not only healed it physically, but he has healed me mentally. He has healed me spiritually. He has healed. He has made me a whole person. I thank him for the physical healings, but I thank him. I thank him for spiritual healing tonight. The story of the 10 lepers in the New Testament, and only one came back. I preached a message some time ago on that, healed but not whole. I love the thought that I can receive my healing, but above all, I want to be made whole in my life. I thank God for the power of healing. Healing is sometimes, at times, I just must admit and simply confess that I don't understand why God does not heal everybody. But then also, when I look at this thought of healing and this whole concept or this whole process of healing, I understand that he can't heal everybody, because if he did, then no one would have ever died and would be, Lord knows how many people on this planet today. Right? We have to die sometime and from something. I can just see Adam. Yeah, I'm 10,214 years old. That's old. That's a long time to be on the planet. So I can understand why God doesn't heal everybody, but then I can't understand why God doesn't heal everybody. Do you understand what? This is what we go, this is how we question. We ask these questions. But we must understand, first of all, that the verse doesn't say that God heals everyone's disease. It doesn't say he heals everybody's disease. It says, who healeth all thy diseases. He's talking to you as an individual, to me as an individual. There's no disease or sickness that lies beyond his healing power. The psalmist is speaking to his soul, blessed. Oh, blessed the Lord, oh my soul, he says, who heals all your diseases. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God can reach down and can heal us. We could go on. This could be a whole Bible study. Each one of these could be a whole Bible study tonight. But understand, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God healed my knee. I'm so thankful that God healed my acid reflux. I'm so thankful that every time I eat a meal, I don't have to take a bucket with me in the car and pull over beside the road anymore. I'm so thankful that I can eat a meal and I can go and sit down and actually digest it. If those of you have acid reflux, you know what I'm talking about. I'm so thankful. In verse 4, we have the kernel of love and compassion. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I thank God daily for his love towards me as a person, because I don't understand it. I don't know what God sees in me, and I don't understand what he sees of value in me. But we need to thank God every day for his love and his compassion towards us, as well as his love and compassion and his patience with mankind. Psalms 40:11 reads, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about mine iniquities have taken hold on me, or my sins have taken hold on me, so that I am not able to look up. I'm so burdened down, as the psalmist is saying, I'm so burdened down with the sin and iniquity in my life that I can't even look up to you, Lord. I'm unworthy to even look up in the heavens and face you. They are more than the hairs on my head. I sin more, Lord, than there are hairs on my head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. The psalmist is saying in verse 11, Lord, please don't hold your love from me. Please, Lord, don't hold your kindness from me. And he goes on to say in verse 12, God, I know that I have trespassed. I have sinned against you. My sin is great. I have sinned more times than there are hairs on my head. But God, preserve me. Preserve me with your mercy, Lord. Preserve me, God, with your love and with your kindness. Oh, God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful tonight. Reading in verse 5. The kernel of satisfaction and renewal. Verse 5 says, who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. There's so much in this little short passage. It reminds me of the words of Jesus given on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Psalms 107:9 tells us that when we seek God's righteousness, he grants it, for he satisfieth thy longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. But that's not the end. When you look into verse 5, it goes on to say that God will renew our youth like the eagles. If you remember back a few years ago, maybe it's been 3 years ago now, I'm not for sure exactly, but we had a special service here, and we had Dennis and Dottie Flint. They brought in a bald eagle from an eagle sanctuary in Winona, Minnesota. And as they begin to talk about some of the characteristics of the eagle that they presented that night, you can look at the amazing eyesight and all of the various characteristics of an eagle. But I would have to say that there's three things that really just kind of stuck out at me, and I remember the most from that night. And number one was the size of the eagle. The eagle is a large bird, a very large bird. This past summer, we were in Iowa, or actually fall, and we were with Rick and Linda Wells, and we were canoeing on the upper Iowa River, and we saw two bald eagles. We canoed right up within just maybe 50 yards or so from them, and you could see them, and they're perched there overlooking the water, no doubt looking for fish or whatever, and they're just, every time I see one, I just get, they're just such a majestic bird, and they're so large, and we got closer, and they took off in flight, and they were so graceful when they fly. You see the little birds as they fly away from the bird feeder, and they'll flutter their wings two or three times, and they kind of dip down, and then they go a little bit, and they dip down, and they go a little bit, and then they just kind of go from branch to branch and tree to tree until they find wherever they want to go, but not the eagle. The eagle takes off, and these powerful wings begins to flap them, and it begins to soar. And within just a few moments, he's way up there, and he's soaring around, watching us as we go past his hunting ground. The eagle, the size of the eagle. Another thing that amazes me about the eagle is the strength. They're a strong bird, the power in their talons, and I forget how many thousands of pounds per square inch that they can exert upon their prey when they squeeze those talons closed, and also how long that an eagle can live. When you look at an eagle is also known for its annual process of molting, where it goes through a process and its feathers refurbish themselves, a renewal of its feathers. And reading in verse 5, it says, "Who satisfieth my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles." This is a result of living a fulfilled, of living a satisfied, of living a spiritual life where we can constantly be renewed and refreshed and revived in our souls. That's what this is telling us. It's telling us that the youth is constantly, your life will constantly be in a process of being renewed, refreshed, and revived. And who does all of this? Who do we attribute to this? God does all of this. No wonder when the psalmist sat down and penned the words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name, bless His holy name, bless His holy name, bless His holy name." I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. Psalms 50, verse 6 says, "Let everything..." How many of you are breathing here tonight? It says, "Let everything that have breath praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. There are countless reasons to be thankful in Jesus Christ. Our hope is that these five reasons tonight would spur you into a greater faith, into a greater hope, and into a greater joy with greater love and a greater depth of thankfulness than we've ever experienced before. When I look at the world around us and I look at things that are going on, ungratefulness is one of the worst of all sins. The Bible speaks of being unthankful, unholy, being ungrateful. Ungrateful for what you have. We have so many blessings in this country, and yet we are so ungrateful to the God who has blessed us. It grieves my heart knowing that we are so blessed and that we have turned our backs upon the God who has blessed us. Multitudes of people enjoy the blessings of life. They enjoy food. They enjoy a home or an apartment or someplace over their heads. They have great friends. I'm so thankful tonight for the friends that I have in my life. I'm so thankful tonight for the health that I have in my life. And so many people have all of these, and yet they never, ever even say thank you to the God who has given it to them. Our world today is so full of evil. I understand that our lives that we live are not all sunshine, and they're all not just so perfect, but we ought to be grateful to God, and we ought to express our gratefulness to Him. Psalms 104 and 5 says, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy, it endureth, it's everlasting, it has no end. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth, that's something that's so hard to get today, is the truth. His truth endureth to all generations." This Thanksgiving, fathers, hear. This Thanksgiving, I charge you, let's give God the thanks that He deserves. We are a blessed nation, a nation under God, while we see nations and religions desiring today to kill us and destroy us, even though we have our faults, even though we fall short and we are full of iniquity, it's because they see that we have been and we are a blessed nation. Tonight, as I end this message, I'm going to end this a little bit different than we've ever ended a message before. And if our ushers could prepare, our four ushers could prepare to come. They could come down here to the front. And if everyone could stand to their feet, just come on down, ushers. We can have two here in the front and one over off to each side over here. What I have here prepared for you is each usher has a little plastic plate here. Imagine it a basket of sorts. And there's a little bag, a little baggie inside. Just come down and everyone can get one little bag. And in this bag, there's five little kernels of corn. It's not real corn. I could have given you real corn, but real corn's a little hard to chew. Unless it's processed. But these little five kernels of candied corn, what I want you to do with them is tomorrow, when you sit down with your family at your table, I want you to take out your little bag of corn, and I want you to sit there with your family, and I want you to pull one little piece of corn out of that bag as a family, and each member of the family pull out a kernel of corn. And as the father or the mother, the spiritual head of your household, leads your household in your Thanksgiving prayer, and at the conclusion of your prayer, before you dive into your turkey and all the trimmings, take one moment of time and dip into that little bag and pull out a kernel. And thank God for something in your life. I don't care what it is. And each member of your family, take out a kernel and thank God. And after you thank God for that kernel, if you want to eat it, you can eat it. I'll leave that up to you. But we are so blessed tonight. We are so blessed, church. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for salvation. I'm so thankful for redemption. I'm so thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. And tonight, after you come down and get your little bag of corn, I want you to find a place to pray. Does it matter if you want to pray down here? Go back to your pew. It doesn't matter to me. And find a place to pray and close out this service in a true spirit of thanksgiving. So as our musicians and our praise team begins to sing, won't you come? There's enough for everyone.